Okay. The question basically is, what about the miraculous revivals that are going out in the charismatic movement today? Where does that fit in with this current dispensation? So I had Ishioma read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. So go ahead and read that again for us, all right?
For a mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Now he talks about lying signs and wonders, okay, associated with Satan's power. Okay, he defines that as the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness in verse 7. And he's saying it's already at work right now. Okay, but it's going to become full blown with the revelation of the wicked one, the Antichrist, okay, who's actually going to have a full blown manifestation of that. Now, in order to get a better appreciation of the timing here, which is very important, you need to go back to verse 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 to see how we are completely disassociated from that. Read verses 1 and 2.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand.
Okay, so he's stop there a minute. He's encouraging the Thessalonians by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that he defines as our gathering together unto him. What event is that? I'm going to put it on the left. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Is it not? Look at what's on the left there in verse 17.
Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord and the earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Right, and that's associated with verse 16, when the Lord descends from heaven with the trump of God, the dead rise first, and then we which are alive, together with those that were raised, meet the Lord in the air. We're caught up, as it says. So that's our gathering together unto him of 2 Thessalonians 2:1. He's encouraging them the fact that the rapture has not happened yet. So don't be shaken in mind by a spirit, a demon, or by a word, someone trying to say that we wrote this, or as a letter from us, or by anybody that's speaking, that the day of the Lord, in other words, the tribulation, is at hand, okay? Because you're still here. You haven't been gathered yet together unto him. Then he gives you a definite indicator in terms of the sequence of events in verses 3 and 4. So go ahead and read that.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come the falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yeah, now verse 3, there's an unfortunate translation error in the King James, okay, because that expression falling away actually literally in the Greek just means departing, okay? Every English translation prior to the King James translated that way. Why the King James translators changed that, only they know. But anyway, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of the Lord that he talks about in verse 2. That can't come except there be a departing first. And then that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, as he describes in verse 4, who claims to be God, sitting in the temple of God. Okay? So what departing has to occur first? Well, if you look at the context, and it goes back to verse 1, doesn't it? Who's leaving in verse 1? Aren't we being gathered together unto Christ, which we know in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is our being caught up to meet him in the air? Aren't we the ones leaving? Absolutely. So therefore, our leaving, our departing needs to come first. Then the Antichrist gets revealed. Okay? And in verse 5, he says, don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Well, where would you be? Where would you get confirmation that he told them those things already? Wouldn't you see that in the first letter? Absolutely. We just read that thing, that verse 17, our courting up, getting caught up to be together with him in the clouds, is our gathering together unto him. And verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And then the pronoun in chapter 4 changes from we to they in chapter 5, doesn't it? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. What does it say?
For of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Okay, so they isn't the we of chapter 4, correct? We are caught up. They are left to be able to face, they that are not caught up are left to face the day of the Lord and his judgment there in verse 3. And then he turns his attention back to us in verse 4. What does he say in verses 4 and 5?
But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Yeah, you see, the day of the Lord is a day of darkness, okay? And Paul is, of course, making reference, write the verse down. We don't have time to go to it. So just write these verses down, describing the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. Darkness, 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 okay? The day of the Lord, okay? And so he says, you are not of that darkness. Why? You don't belong to it. Why? Because you got caught up before it ever happened, right? You got caught up in chapter 4. You're of the light. These people that are left behind are facing this darkness, the day of the light. So you have complete confidence. And that's why he says, look at what he says in verses 9 and 10. What does he say in verses 9 and 10, verses 9, 10, and 11 in chapter 5?
For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do.
Yeah, God has not appointed us to wrath, the day of wrath. He's appointed us to salvation. And so whether we wake or sleep, now what does he mean by wake or sleep? Go back to verse 6. What does it say?
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
The word for watch and the word for wake are the same word in the Greek. The word for watch in verse 6 is the same Greek word as the word wake in verse 10. Okay? So therefore, what you do has no bearing upon the fact of whether you're going to be caught up or not. How is salvation today? It's a moment of faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
According to Ephesians 1:13, it's a moment of faith. Believing the word of truth, okay? That happens for you, You're sealed until the day of redemption, and you're going up. Okay? That's comfort, isn't it?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right? Yeah. Now, going, coming back and putting a ribbon on it, and turning back to the right part of the screen and looking at 2 Thessalonians 2, after you just said, don't you remember I told you these things and we saw those things at the end of 1 Thess 4 and all through 1 Thess 5. So now, what does it say in verse 6 in 2 Thessalonians 2?
And now you know what restraints that he might be revealed in his time.
Antichrist has his own time for being revealed. What time is that? It's the time after we depart in verse 3, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. It's after we get gathered together in verse 1, is it not?
Yeah.
And then it says in verse 7, what does it say in verse 7?
For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he be taken out of the way.
Something has to be taken out of the way before this mystery of iniquity is full-blown. What's the he? Isn't the church defined as the one new man? In Ephesians 2:15?
Yeah.
Doesn't that he have to be taken out of the way? It said that he does in verse 3, and it said that he does in verse 1, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You see, he can't make it any plainer, can he? Where if the words on the page mean what they say and say what they mean, you have absolute confidence that you're not going to be there in the time of Antichrist when there's going to be full-blown deception through these signs. Okay, but he warns you that those signs are even at work right now. Okay? So stay away from it. You can also learn from this passage that you can judge the nearness of the rapture by how intense those signs are getting, can't you? The charismatic movement became full blown over the last 50 years. Okay? And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's the charismatic movement that you see in the very last days. Okay? You don't want any part of that. Okay? I'll just give you one more last passage. I said 2 Timothy 3. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What does it say in verse 1? On the right here.
This know also that the last days a real time shall come.
And it describes a bunch of bad behavior in verses 2 through 4. What's the problem with these people in verse 5?
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away.
Yeah, they have no idea how the power of God is being manifested today. They only have a form. Okay? The power of God is manifested today by suffering, okay? By the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, just write those passages down. It's everything that speaks against the charismatic signs. They have no idea how the power of God is manifested under grace, okay? And then to put the ribbon on it, he says in verses 8 and 9, what does it say in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Timothy 3?
Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind reprobate concerning the faith.
Yeah.
Verse 9, mm-hmm. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
Yeah, and that's going to happen at the second coming of Christ. We know that. When the Antichrist gets thrown into the lake, it will be very obvious that who he was. All right, now look at verses 6 and 7. Look at verses 6 and 7 right here in the same chapter.
For of this sort are they who creep into half and led captive, silly women, laden with sin, led away with various lusts, never learning and never able to come with knowledge of the truth.
So these charismatic people, just like Janus and Jambres, who were allowed to work false signs up to a point, and then they were stopped, just like Antichrist will be stopped at the second coming of Christ. Okay, these people are leading foolish women. That word silly, foolish women, laden with sins and lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Charismatic doctrine is marked by two things: no eternal security. Okay. And also the lying signs and wonders, okay? Not knowing where the true power of God is being manifested today through the fellowship of his sufferings. God doesn't take away things today. We triumph in those sufferings by our inward man being renewed day by day through the truths concerning our heavenly position, that unseen sphere. This is what they don't understand. This is what they will never teach, okay? And this is why you need to stay away from it.
Wow.
Okay? And there you have it. Okay, so I'll put an end to this recording here as well.